Summer Part 2.
Unschooling mit meiner Mama.
Being real, be consistently real.
Exactly. Be yourself.
And that's like one of the things that I used to say, I still say a lot about my mom is like, I felt like one of her most beautiful qualities was her humility, mm-hmm. her vulnerability, her willingness to be wrong, to admit that she's wrong, to say, I don't know what I was thinking. I really screwed that up. You guys, I'm sorry. Like that didn't make her weak to us. Like that earned our respect.
Yeah.
You know? And then for her to be like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. I've never done this before either.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. What are we going to do about it? Because it involved us. It gave us a sense of responsibility for the situation that we were in. Yes. So it wasn't just being controlled by someone. Yeah. There wasn't someone else that was responsible. It was us. We're all responsible for everything that's going on in our family, for all the relationships that we experience. Like, we're all responsible. What are we going to do? How are we going to work this out? It wasn't someone else is going to come up with the answer and make up a new rule and then enforce that rule upon you. It was communal. This isn't working. This isn't working. What are we going to do about it? And then we would find a way and we would try out one thing and then that wouldn't work. And someone else would have an idea and then we would adjust and then we'd have another. It's like it was natural and organic. And I think that's one of the biggest problems for parents now is this idea that they have to hold this whole thing together and that they are alone responsible for how things go in the family. You're not the only one involved here.
True.
You're not the only one involved. And it is okay to not know what to do. It's okay to have a breakdown even in front of your children.
Oh, yes.
And it's okay to have your own meltdown with them. It's okay to sit there and cry in front of them and say, this is really hard and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And your children might surprise you.
Yes.
Your children might surprise you.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say that because every time I'm really on the low point, my child steps up and he's saying stuff I would not even expect a grown person to say. Yeah. He's so mature. He's thinking outside the box. He's just the better person in general. And when I'm really at a low point where I fuck things up and I'm really fucking things up, when I'm at a low point, oh boy, I'm such an asshole. And he is so calm and he has his shit together. And then I'm like, dude, I don't even know how to solve it right now. I'm making such a mess out of stuff I don't even know how to solve. And I always felt shit about being at a point where I integrate my child into the solution. But I think, I don't know, it's our relationship. I don't have all the answers. I don't want to have all the answers. And since I figured out he is way smarter than me and he has better ideas than me in a lot of situations where I'm emotionally at a place you don't want to be, he's the one who has it all together. Why not doing this? And some people were like, you're mistreating him like
I was gonna say that there's probably a lot of people who will take this conversation in that way and make it like you're putting too much on your children. You're putting too much responsibility on them, you're expecting too much from them, they're just kids, And I can see where that comes from. And I can say that does happen. I've seen it happen. I don't feel that way in my own family at all because I always felt very cared for. So it didn't feel like it's a tricky thing because yes, of course, like you don't want your children to feel unprotected. Yeah. You don't want them to feel like they don't have a strong leader with strong boundaries. Like I've witnessed this so much, especially in toddlers that I've worked with, that really, really enjoy being with me because I do have really strong boundaries. Mm-hmm. And it's not about not having strong boundaries. It's not about just having no, how do I describe this? So in some sense, there was, yes, a lot of freedom in my household, emotional freedom.
Yeah.
Mental freedom. There was not always physical freedom. So like we weren't what is being called today radical unschooling, which again, I really don't like these terms, but I use them because that's what other people seem to understand. In the sense that like we had bedtimes.
You know,
we had lunch out. We had, there was structure. There was rhythm. There was, and you couldn't just act however you wanted. And you couldn't just talk to each other however you wanted. And I was, no way was I ever gonna like yell at my mom or be verbally abusive or like these things were not acceptable. Violence was not acceptable. We didn't have video games. We didn't have, and so to some people, it looked like my mom ran a really tight ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like people would say that, like, wow, you run a really tight ship. But it was, it wasn't a dictatorship.
Yeah,
it was a community, and it was a like operating like a small tribe. It was rather democratic in some ways, but also there are points where it's recognized that the mother has a fully developed brain, that she has this, that she has this intuitive connection with her children, that when you're in tune with your children and you've developed this kind of relationship with them, that there are times when you will say, this feels harmful and we're not going to do that, because it is your job to protect your children from certain negative influences, from dangerous situations. You don't just let your children do whatever they want. Otherwise they would be dead by now. If they were to just walk out in the street and a car is coming, are you going to say, that's their choice, that's their freedom, I respect their individuality, and if that's what they want to do with their life is walk in front of a bus? Or without even a thought in your mind, are you going to grab that child back to safety? So it's not a mental process. I feel like oftentimes people are trying to mentalize so much and analyze so much this idea of where is protection versus control versus, and I get that. And I've spent a lot of time trying to kind of untangle those knots and see where these things intersect and where are these lines. And one of the ways in which it's because it's a difficult conversation, it gets into some really subtle, nuanced kind of things. And it's like, there were times when my mom like would say, I'm sorry, honey, like, that's not, no, I don't feel good about this. But it was never just like, because I said so. It was always like a conversation. And somehow my mom had built this level of respect with us that like, we listened.
Mm-hmm.
Because she made sense.
Yeah.
There were times when it was like, honey, I have not a good feeling. Like, I think we should calm down now and get out of the tree. And we didn't. And one of us got hurt.
Yeah.
So we learned, you know, that mom really often does know best, and she is the leader here. And we did feel safe to depend on her and rely on her. And I think that that's what people are afraid of in showing their children vulnerability, is that they're afraid that their children will lose that sense of security and safety with them if they don't remain to appear strong.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get where that's coming from. And it's a really difficult thing to describe. Why did I always feel so safe that I could completely depend on my mom? Like, she had my back, like she was a lioness, like she was never going to let anything harm me. And she really did kind of hold space for us, but she also didn't pretend like she always knew the answers. She didn't pretend to be more than she was. She didn't pretend to be, superior to us in like a, in a, I don't know how to describe that, but like on a human level, like as a human being.
Yeah.
She didn't make herself superior as a human being, but there were some times when it's just like, well, I'm taller and I can see over the bushes and I can see that there's a tiger over there that's going to eat you, and you're shorter, so you can't see it. It's like that. It's like that simple. It's that simple. It's like, mom, why can't I do this? And it's like, well, because I can see, due to my vantage point, I can see that it's going to be harmful to you, and it's going to cause a lot of pain and damage. And so I'm going to prevent that damage from happening by saying no right now. And that's just how it is. And that can suck sometimes. Like sometimes it sucks. Sometimes maybe your child doesn't totally understand in that moment,
yeah.
You know, and for my mom, it was things like video games. It was things like, certain groups, certain people, certain things that she found to be harmful, certain foods, certain, my mom was
a child. Yes.
We didn't have refined sugar in my house. And I'm
same
super
here.
Grateful. Super grateful.
That's good to hear. You know, I hope my child will be grateful for that one day.
If your child wants to do narcotics, like, are you going to just let them do narcotics because that's their choice and you're radically unschooling, you know, or are you going to say, actually, that's a controlled substance and that's illegal? And are you only going to say that because someone else decided the law for you? Because some higher authority said that's not safe for your children. You're going to trust that. And this is where I get with like radical unschoolers sometimes is where I've heard these conversations go on where they're like, well, no, I'm not going to let my child do heroin. That's illegal. My child will be taken from me. I'm like, okay.
What does so it you're mean? Only,
but if it was yeah. legal and you weren't going to have your child taken from you, if a different substance was illegal, if it got decided that it was sugar or that it was video games or that it was this other substance or that substance, like who are you trusting? What authority are you placing this trust in about what is harmful for your child? And why are you trusting them? You're outsourcing. And so that's what my mom didn't do. She didn't mm-hmm. outsource to an authority what was safe and healthy for her children. And so to some people, that's extreme arrogance. Oh, you think you know what's best rather than
yes,
some expert. Actually, else. Yes. Like, well, yeah, because you're the mom and they're your kids. And that's kind of how it works. But
I
also
had this conversation
it
with
goes
my parents
in,
as
it
well.
Goes into it also. Then you get into these sticky knots where it's like, okay, but where is my right and when am I controlling versus how am I respecting their freedom? Where does my freedom and their freedom and all of these things? So it gets into these really sticky knots. And I enjoy these conversations because I feel like I learn something every time. And I got an interesting question the other night and it got into what we're I started to mention what we're really afraid of. I go off on so many tangents, but this father was asking me, he's like, I was telling him, I was like, well, every time when you make your child sit down and do a worksheet, like you, when you make them sit at a desk and focus on a piece of paper with academic information, you, and all they want to do is go outside or they want to draw a picture or they want to whatever, you are effectively telling them that they don't know what's right or safe for themselves, that they can't be trusted to make their own choices or their own decisions about what to do with their time, what to do with their energy, how to spend their, you know, that's what we do. And then we wonder why as adults, we have a hard time making choices and decisions. And it's like, because you were taught that you can't be trusted with those choices and decisions. You've never been allowed to make any choices or decisions for yourself. You haven't been able to follow. You don't even remember what feels right for you, what you want to do with your life, what you want to, because you've never been allowed. You've always been told you're not good enough to make those decisions. And so at some point, suddenly you're good enough. And then you've completely lost any tools. Like they've all been suppressed. All your tools of discernment have been suppressed. So it's crazy. And then he was saying like, okay, I get that. He's like, I get that. I want my daughter to grow up knowing that I trust that she knows what's safe for her and that, you know, she has the ability to make her own choices and decisions and she can trust her intuition and she can trust her own, her gut and her instincts and her, like all of that. And then he said, but what about, and this gets me, I've had this conversation before too. What about like teaching consistency? What if she goes in, what if I sign her up for a ballet class and then she wants to quit? And like, you know, I want to teach my daughter that she needs to be consistent.
Yeah. Why? I had this conversation with my child.
So to me,
bring it on.
I have a couple of points on this. And one of them is, so should she not quit an abusive relationship? Should she see it through? Should she not quit a toxic work environment? She should see it through. Should she not quit? It's like, there's a million, like teach your kids to quit, teach them to quit, always quit. If it sucks, quit, get out of there. If you're uncomfortable, get the hell out of there. Yeah. If you're, you know, being mistreated, get out of there. If it doesn't feel right for any way, shape or form, get out of there. That's what we should be teaching our children. Yeah. Not stick it out, even if it's wrong and uncomfortable and you don't know why. You know, it's like, you don't have to know why to know that it's wrong. It can just feel wrong. And you need to trust that, because we do know when we're in a dangerous situation. And the thing is, we're taught not to trust that. And that's how we end up getting hurt. And it's like, I even had some of those experiences as a child. As hard as my mom tried to protect, we do live on this planet, and shit happens. And so there were times when I learned through my own experience, I didn't trust my own gut, and something bad happened.
Yeah.
And I had to go through some of those learning experiences as well, because society told me I couldn't trust, not my mom, but society in general told me I couldn't trust. You can't just do that because you feel like it. You can't just say no for no reason. You know, you have to have a reason. You have to justify yourself and your actions, and you have to make sense to other people. No, you don't actually. And so when this dad was asking me, like, I want to teach her to be consistent. And I was like, who are you to say someone else should be consistent?
Yeah.
Why?
And why though?
Where do you get off thinking someone should be consistent? You have an idea. You have a judgment in your mind that says being consistent is better than being inconsistent. And you could come up with a really great argument as to why, and you could probably show lots of examples as to why, and maybe in your own life, maybe you, what it is it's you wish you were more consistent.
Exactly.
So take care of your own self. Stop putting that on your kids. You don't know how they should be. You don't know how anyone else should be. And you certainly don't have the right to be trying to manipulate their life into them learning certain things that you wish you had for yourself. It's like, what is it that you're really afraid of? Why should you be consistent?
Yes, I don't get it.
Who says you should be consistent? Where did you get this idea in your mind that you should be consistent? And it's like people say, well, I can see that if I was more consistent, my life would be easier, because if I hadn't done this, I had done this. Don't put that on your kids.
And you don't know.
You don't know. They're a totally different person than you. They have completely different qualities and completely different desires and completely different. They're not you. And you don't know what they need in that way. You don't know how they need to be. Yeah. You don't know that they need to be consistent, or you don't know what lessons they need to learn in life as far as those kinds of lessons. Those are life lessons. Those are not lessons for you to teach on purpose. Lessons for you to teach on purpose are the ones they ask for. How do I tie my shoes?
Yes.
That's your job.
I like that. I like that a lot, because we exactly had the same conversation, Mattel and me. And he, I think he did 4 or 5 years of martial arts. And one day he came back from it entrenamiento and he was like, I'm never going to go back there. And he loved it until that point. And in my head was like, okay, my parents would never, ever let me get out of that situation. They would punch me in the face until I would go back and pull through. And the first reaction, I was like, dude, you know, you get just 2 months left and you get the next belt, and then you can change to another school if you want to check out other schools. Yeah. And he was like, I don't feel it now. I will find a solution if I want to pick it up again somewhere else. I don't want to pressure myself into spending time with stupid kids. And I totally get it. And I was like, okay, all right, this is what we're going to do. You just drop out. And I had this in my mind. I felt so guilty for, like, oh my God, consistency and all these things. And I was like, where is consistency? What is bringing you? Well, what are
being
you getting?
Consistent, but see, here's the thing is, it's like being consistent to what?
Exactly. To yourself? Okay. To someone else's? What?
Being consistent. No way. Being consistent with what feels right to you.
And even if
it doesn't mean, well, and it's like you said, like you had a conversation with him about that, you know, it was like, okay, I want, you know, I hear that you want to quit this. And also you do realize that if you just stuck in for a little bit longer, like this could happen and that can happen. Right. I want you to be aware of the consequences. And he could be like, I'm aware of the consequences. I'm making this choice. Okay, cool. It's like, and you might want to investigate a little, like I was telling this dad, it's like, okay, she wants to quit ballet. So let's go through this scenario. She wants to quit ballet. First of all, okay, sweetheart, like I hear that you want to quit ballet. And why? What's going on? Did something make you uncomfortable? Discover, investigate, be curious, yeah. be open. It might be something you did not guess. It might be something totally different. And then it also might be figure outable. It might be something like, okay, you really don't like wearing the leotard. That's it. That's the problem. She likes the dancing, but she doesn't want to wear the leotard. Okay, well, would you want to keep going if maybe you could wear something else? Yes. Cool. Let's see if we can, let's talk to the teacher. Let's see if you can wear something else. And maybe she wants to keep dancing.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and so now it's like, what is your child actually learning? And by being open and being curious and being willing to hear them out, being curious about their experience and what's already going on and what they're learning already without all of your input and your agenda, you might discover something about your child. And you also might really be able to support and assist them in finding a way to pursue the thing they love in a way that's comfortable for them. Because it might not be that she just wants to quit ballet. It might be because this other kid in the class is making her uncomfortable. And then it might turn into something else where you facilitate a conversation with this other kid. And then maybe they become friends. And maybe she learned something about conflict resolution yeah. through that you didn't know about because you got out of the way. You let go of your agenda about your child yeah. needing to be consistent. Your agenda was like, my child needs to learn that they're consistent. And you maybe missed out on this whole other opportunity of something really beautiful and powerful that could have been learned about your daughter learning that it's okay to not want to wear a leotard and that maybe she needs to dress differently for her body and that's okay. And that she can speak up about that. And she just learned that she has agency over her body and that it's okay to request to wear something different than what other people are wearing. Or I don't know, it could go in a million different directions, but because parents are so attached,
yeah,
they're so attached to these ideas and these agendas about how their children should be that they completely miss out on like the richness and beauty of life and what is being offered to them and their child. And in that experience, in that moment, it's like, that's the one thing I think I would tell parents most of all is like, shut up, be curious and be open, listen, watch, pay attention and consider and question, you know, okay, my daughter doesn't want to do ballet. I wonder why that is. Let's find out together and be really gentle and loving in that investigation. You know, well, why is there something in particular? And if she doesn't want to talk about it, then you got to let it go too. But like,
yes,
have that conversation, be consistent, like teach your children consistency in that you consistently listen and that you are consistently there for them and that you are consistently open. Be consistent, but like teach them how to be consistent by being consistent in that. Be reliable for them. Because teaching them to not quit is not consistency. That's just teaching them to endure.
Yeah,
abuse.
It's disgusting.
It's teaching them to put up with and endure uncomfortable situations that might be toxic.
Yeah.
Instead of taking care of themselves, instead of listening to themselves, instead of being kind and compassionate to themselves. And then everyone grows up and they're all in therapy and we're all trying to self-love, you know, like I need to learn how to love myself and take care of myself. Yeah. Because your parents didn't do it.
Yeah.
They taught you how to swallow abuse. Like maybe not abuse, maybe that's a strong word, but you know, your parents taught you how to be consistently denying yourself. They taught you how to consistently ignore yourself and what you feel is right for yourself. That's what we were taught by staying in ballet class or soccer or, you know, well, you already for six lessons, so you're going to finish the six lessons. It's not their fault that you paid for those lessons.
Yeah,
it's not their fault, actually, because if you had been listening, observing, open and curious, you may have realized it wasn't a good idea to pay for six lessons originally.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? I think a lot of times parents are like, oh my God, society is so fucked up. I don't want my child to live in this kind of society. But hear me out, dude. You're exactly the reason why it's going on, because you're not changing, you're not breaking.
No, we're perpetuating. We're perpetuating.
Yeah.
We're all perpetuating. No, it's not going to change as long as people keep raising children that look to a higher authority for all the answers. Because someone will always be ready to take advantage.
Yes.
Someone will always be ready to take advantage. You leave your children susceptible to cult-like mentality, to joining something. It's very, very dangerous. We're leaving our children susceptible to, like, cult leaders, basically. And I mean that on a large scale. I mean that in the sense of even on a small scale, like even just socially, small social groups, you know? But then it gets larger and larger and larger because you're just teaching your children that someone else knows better than them for them, what's right for them. So listen to someone else. Listen to your teacher. Listen to your parent. Listen to your doctor. Listen to your husband. Listen to your, you know, it's someone else knows. Yeah. That's what we're taught. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what you need. You don't know. No, you have to learn this math now so that you're not a loser. Because if we trust you, if you do what you want, you're going to be a loser. If you pursue your own passions, you're going to fail in life. You know what? Crazy. Fuck it then. I would like to fail. I will happily fail because succeeding doesn't look so good. It's not working out for most people, actually. Not in that sense. Like what we consider to be success is misery. It's misery. Yes. Miserable.
It's so sad. And I try to explain this to parents all the time. Like you define success like this and that. This is success. But you
and
don't
it's someone else's idea. It's not even your idea. It's someone else's idea of success. Yes. It was created.
Unschooling mit meiner Mama.